Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
But good morning, everybody. My name is Sidara, and it is wonderful to see you here on this lovely and sunny Sunday morning. And hey, I'm so excited about today because today I get to talk to you about something, a topic that's really close to my heart. It's something I'm quite passionate about, not just because I have a background in psychology, but because I feel like this topic in our day and age is a topic that we still find very difficult to talk about. And so I'm so excited that I get this next little while to talk to you about this topic. And we're going to dive in and we're going to talk about it really openly and really honestly. And hey, if this is your first time here with us, if you're a guest with us today, then welcome. We're so glad that you're here. And listen, you might be here and you might not have any faith in God, or you might not share the same beliefs that we believe, and that is absolutely fine. We're just glad that you're here. But I believe that what we're talking about today is going to be relevant to you whether you have faith or not, whether you are a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. And that topic, as you may have already gathered, is mental health. Now, perhaps you're here and you have a firsthand experience of mental health-related illnesses. Or maybe you're here and you have no idea what that's like. That's something that you've never come across before in your life. But whether you are or whether you aren't, this topic is so important for us to all talk about. It's so important for us to all be aware of, because recent research shows that 1 in 5 Australians struggle with mental health-related illnesses. 1 in 5. Isn't that wild? That's huge. That means that for every 5 people here, at least 1 person struggles with a mental health-related illness. Wow, that's big. And yet, we find that even in 2019, where things have progressed so much, where there's so much more awareness, mental health is a topic that we find really difficult to talk about openly and honestly, especially in church circles. In fact, perhaps it would be fair to say that we're one of the worst when it comes to talking about mental health-related challenges, an open dialogue about the challenges that people face with mental health-related illnesses. It's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to address, but everyone knows is there. And maybe for you, you're here this morning and you've had that kind of experience. Maybe you've struggled or battled with mental health-related illnesses and you have not felt like church was a place that you can come and be vulnerable at. Or maybe you've known someone who battled with mental health and you haven't felt like church was a place that you could come and talk about that battle, that you could come and talk about that struggle. And right now, in our midst, we know that there are people suffering, people who are battling mental health-related challenges. And today, we want to talk about it. And one of the reasons that perhaps you felt like you don't want to talk about it is because when you have heard it being talked about in church, when well-meaning Christians have talked to you about mental health, perhaps their comments have been unhelpful, or they've caused you pain and you've been hurt by them. You know, I've heard it said that mental health-related illnesses, that if you're a good Christian, you should have faith in God, and so you shouldn't be depressed. I've heard it said that if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, that you can't really be a true Christian. I've heard it said that someone with depression has sinned, and that's why they're affected in that way. I've heard it said that chronic anxiety means that you don't really trust God. I've heard it said that you can't really have a relationship with God if you have depression. Today, I want to tell you very categorically and very clearly that in this church, we do not subscribe to any of those theories. In fact, I'd go so far as to say all of those statements are false. Life is not as simple as all of that. And that is not a good reflection of the gospel of grace that I read in the Bible. For far too long in our church world, we've judged people, we've shamed them, we've condemned them, we've made them feel like they're less than, that they didn't have enough this or they didn't have enough that. When all the while research shows us actually that mental health-related illnesses, they come about for a variety of reasons that are so complex and so complicated. They can be environmental, they can be hereditary, they can be experiential. So today, we want to stop tiptoeing around it. Today, we want to take a stand as a church in conjunction with Are You Okay Day, which was last Thursday. And we want to stop the stigma and we want to talk about it. Is that okay? Can we stop the stigma? Can we start talking about it? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, let's talk about it. Now turn to your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, let's talk about it. As you're aware already, Are You Okay is a suicide prevention initiative. And their thought is that one simple conversation can change a person's life. And my prayer for all of us here today is that whether you struggle with mental health illnesses right now or whether you know someone who does, that this conversation that we're having right here, right now, that it's going to be helpful to you. That through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, that this conversation will be life-changing for someone, either for you or for someone in your own world. And so I'm hoping that together as a church family, as a church body, you're going to agree with me and that we're going to hear and open our hearts to hear the Holy Spirit. We're going to open our hearts to hear God as He speaks to us this morning. Why don't we pray together? Father, thank you that you are close to us, that you care about every single detail of our lives. Father, thank you that every single trial, every single challenge, every single circumstance is not far from you, God. And I want to say, Father God, that as we come before you this morning, would you open up our hearts to hear the words of life that you're going to speak to us this morning. God, I pray that my words fall to the ground, but your words, your life-giving, life-breathing words will come and take deep root in all of our hearts. Holy Spirit, would you make the presence of God real to us? Would you help us to have ears to hear the hope that he speaks to us, the grace that he speaks to us, the love and the compassion that he pours into us this morning? In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Now, I have to be honest, I've never really experienced mental health illness personally. It's not been something that I've struggled with in my life. But I guess my longest or my deepest experience of mental health-related illness came when I was a pastor back in England. I met this girl. She was a young girl in university, and I'm not going to tell you her name. I'm going to protect her identity, so we're going to call her Casey. And I met Casey when she was in her first year of university. And Casey had lived a pretty rough life. She had a very difficult relationship with her parents. They were separated. They were not together. Earlier on in Casey's life, there was a man in their circle who had sexually abused her, who had raped her. And when she disclosed that information to someone, they didn't believe her. And so she lived with the pain and the trauma of that for a lot of her life. When I met Casey, she was diagnosed with a lot of mental health challenges. She was depressed, she was suicidal, she was self-harming. She was also diagnosed with some eating disorders. And I had the privilege of working with Casey over about 4 years. And there was also a team of mental health specialists who were working with her at the time. And over those 4 years, there were a lot of ups and there were a lot of downs, and some of those downs were pretty low. I remember getting a phone call from her housemate one night. For those of you who know me, you know I'm an old lady, so I go to bed at about 8. And this phone call came at about 11, so I was probably already half asleep. But I remember getting this phone call on my phone and thinking that this has to be important because it's nearly midnight. And it was her housemate on the other end of the line, and she told me that Casey had overdosed on drugs and that she was being rushed to hospital to have her stomach pumped. And I remember having this feeling of just utter dread and jumping out of bed, still in my pajamas, just put a coat on, put some boots on, and rush to the hospital. And when I got there, we stayed there till about 3 in the morning until they pumped all the drugs out of her system. And I remember watching Casey at the time, and I don't think I've ever seen someone look so tired. She just looked so tired of living with this pain and living with this depth of despair. There was another time when I think she messaged me, she texted me on my phone, and she was not in Nottingham at the time, she was away, she was back home, and she was sitting in her bathroom, and I think she had self-harmed at the time, and she just didn't find any reason to keep going. She couldn't find a reason to keep living. And I remember messaging her and texting her and almost pleading with her just to keep fighting, to just keep living one more day. There was another time when she used to call me, and I think this time I was actually in Sri Lanka. She called me from the top of a building because she was just about to jump, or she wanted to jump, and she wanted to end her life that way. There was another time when she called me from the edge of a train track because she had contemplated ending her life that way. This utter pain, this depth of despair, this darkness that seemed to surround her, this pit that she just couldn't climb out of. There were times when she clung to her faith and she clung to God, and the medication and the doctors, it all kind of seemed to work, and she lived life and she took each day as it came, but those times didn't seem to last because very soon we'd be back where we kind of started, where the pain and the darkness just got too much to bear. You know, for a lot of us here, maybe we've never experienced what that feels like. We've never experienced a mental health-related illness or challenge. And so for many of us here, it would be difficult to comprehend, it would be difficult to understand how the pain could be so bad, how the despair could be so deep that someone wouldn't want to even live anymore. I remember sitting and hearing Casey, as she sobbed into my arms, described what was going on inside of her. And she said it was like this deep pit that she was in, and she just couldn't climb out. And every time she tried to, she just kept slipping down. It was like this thick cloud of darkness that descended on her, and no matter how much she knew better, no matter how much she tried, she just couldn't make it lift. It hurt so much. The pain was so bad. The despair was so deep. For a lot of us, maybe we don't understand or we can't comprehend that kind of pain. But just because we don't understand it and just because we don't comprehend it, it doesn't make that pain any less real. It doesn't mean that people in our world aren't battling this kind of despair each and every single day. You know, there are people in our city, people in our church, people in this very room that live with this kind of pain each and every single day. So we can't not talk about it. We can't keep letting it be the elephant in the room. We can't pretend like it doesn't exist. We have to talk about it. We've got to address it. We can't keep turning the other way. And hey, if you're here and it shocks you to think that a person who knows God, a person who loves God, could battle mental health-related illnesses, that maybe you think that if you really knew God or if you really loved God, then you couldn't or shouldn't deal with mental health-related illnesses. Can I tell you that it's not as simple as all that? You know, history is full of great men and women of great faith, people of great faith who did great things for God and yet battled and struggled with mental health-related illnesses. One of my favorite theologians of all time is a man named Charles Spurgeon. He was one of the greatest preachers of the 19th century. And he wrote in his journals about the depression that he faced in bouts over long periods of his life. A very famous, well-known figure, you'll know her, Mother Teresa. Great woman of great faith, did great things for God, spent her life pouring out love and care to the poor and to the needy. Did great things, and yet was depressed for a lot of her life. Last year, there was a pastor by the name of Andrew Stocklane. He was a pastor of a mega church in California. And he had panic attacks, and he suffered with depression and with anxiety. And one day, he got up in front of his church, and he talked openly about his struggle. He talked about his battle with mental health-related illnesses. And 2 weeks after that Sunday, tragically, Andrew took his own life, and he left behind his wife and these three young boys. And his wife, she talks about her husband after his passing, and she says that Andrew was a man who loved God. He was a man who had great faith, who ran to God with his depression, who worshiped God. And his faith got him through some really dark times, but in that moment, he succumbed to his illness. And she says this about his depression. She says, depression is a disorder of the brain that is both biological and physiological. We need to help break this stigma of mental illness. Although prayer and spirituality help, and God can do miracles, ultimately, mental illness deserves to be treated just like every other illness. I believe God has not called us to judge mental illness or suicide. Rather, he has called us to love him and love them, and he meant all of them. Just this week, I heard of a pastor called Jared Wilson, also in America. He was a mental health advocate. He would speak out against the stigma that surrounded mental health. He was a champion for raising awareness about mental health. And tragically, just the day before World Suicide Prevention Day, he too took his own life just this week, just gone. And he also left behind a wife and two young children. And before he took his life, he wrote this on social media a few weeks ago, and he said, "Admitting you struggle with mental health doesn't make you a bad Christian. I'm a Christian who also struggles with depression. This exists, and it's okay to admit it." His senior pastor, Greg Laurie, he wrote this after the passing of his friend. He said, "We would not say of someone who died of cancer, why didn't they just overcome their cancer? Why didn't they just get the upper hand on it? Just as there are issues like that, there are also mental issues that can be medical. Sometimes people think that as pastors or spiritual leaders, we are somehow above the pain and struggles of everyday people. We are the ones who are supposed to have all the answers, but we do not. At the end of the day, pastors are just people who need to reach out to God for his help and his strength each and every day." I want you to understand this morning that mental health-related illnesses, they're not prejudiced, they don't discriminate. No one is immune from them. They can affect everyone and anyone. And so it's important for us as a church to talk about it. It's ridiculous to say that someone who battles mental health actually doesn't have a relationship with God or doesn't love God or doesn't know God. They face challenges that you and I know nothing about. Do I believe in the power of God to heal? Absolutely, 100% every single time. And if you come and ask me to pray for healing, I will pray with all the faith that I have inside me because I have seen people healed. I have prayed and people have been healed. I have seen it happen in front of my very eyes. But does everyone get healed? No, they don't. Let's call it what it is. There have been people that we've prayed for and they haven't got healed. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world that wasn't of God's original design. There are forces at work in this world that are not just God's. And so we're all subject to pain and despair and trouble. That was never God's intention for us. That was never God's plan for us. But this is the world that we live in. But Christianity isn't about slapping on a mask and pretending like everything's okay. No, Christianity is about living an honest and authentic life right in the middle of life's challenges, right in the middle of all the unanswered questions. But the difference is that we live it with a God who is there in every single circumstance, who is there in every single challenge, who is there in every single trial, not just now, but even to the end of the age. And that makes all the difference. I want to talk to you about one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Psalms. You find it in the first half of the Bible. And I love the book of Psalms because it's so raw and it's so real. And actually, if you took my Bible right now and you flipped through the book of Psalms, you'd find that there were some tear-stained pages. You'd find some highlights in there. You'd find some food stains in there probably. Because when I look at my life, I find that I've lived my life through the book of Psalms. I find that I've cried through the Psalms. I've lamented through the Psalms. I've praised God through the Psalms. I've rejoiced through the Psalms. I've struggled with God through the Psalms. And I love the Psalms because almost one third of that book is a lament. It's a cry to God. It's a person sitting in a pit crying out for help to God. A person experiencing a depth of despair and a depth of pain that you and I wouldn't be able to comprehend. For example, in Psalm 42, the psalmist says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' I say to God, my rock, 'Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?'" Or Psalm 88, "I'm overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care." And I could read psalm after psalm after psalm, depicting someone's loss, depicting someone's hopelessness, depicting someone's despair. And hey, these are not the Psalms that we typically pick to preach on, but hey, they're in the Bible and they're in there for a reason. And if you're here today and you think that If you can't be a Christian and still battle with deep despair and deep pain, I want to tell you that the Psalms are evidence that you can. These psalmists, they clearly knew God, and yet this despair, this pain, it seems to come in cycles, it seems to come in bouts, and it doesn't seem to leave them. And perhaps you're here and you know what that's like. You know what these psalmists are talking about. You know about that kind of pain. You know about that kind of depth of despair. Well, I want to talk to you this morning, and I hope that for this next little while you'll pay attention. Or maybe you're here and you have no idea what I'm talking about. You have no experience with mental health. You don't even know anyone who deals or struggles with mental health. But I'm hoping that you would also lean in, because this is a widespread issue in our society today, and there could be someone in your life who could benefit from your love and from your compassion. So this morning, I want to talk to you about two things, and here's the first thing. Isolation. I want to talk to you about isolation. Now, if you're here and you struggle with a mental health illness, or you're watching us online and you're battling with a mental health condition, can I tell you, can you hear me when I say this to you? You are not alone. You are not alone. Firstly, you are not alone. There are others. That seems a bit of a strange thing to say. Why do I say that? There are others. Because you see, mental health related illnesses, they have a way of making you feel like you're the only one. They have a way of making you feel so lonely, so isolated, that this is only happening to you. Like there is something wrong with you, that you are lacking something that other people have. And that is simply not true. You are not alone. There are other people going through the same thing that you're going through. There are other people who struggle with the things that you struggle with. And I've told you stories of some of these people, but I've also told you about the Psalms. And if you're here, and if you ever feel like that, if you ever feel so lonely, so isolated, so very alone, can I encourage you? Would you just pick up the book of Psalms and start reading through it? Would you pick up the book of Psalms and remind yourself that you are not alone? And maybe, just maybe, you're here and you say, Sidara, actually, sometimes I find it difficult to even pray. Sometimes the pain is so bad and the despair is so deep, I find it difficult to put into language, to find words to describe what I'm feeling. Can I encourage you? Why don't you pray using the psalmist's words? Maybe you want to cry out to God using the words of the psalmist. Maybe something of their language can give words to what you're feeling inside. And you can use their words to cry out to God and remind yourself that you are not alone. Secondly, you are not alone. You can share the load. This time, I mean that you don't have to struggle alone. You don't have to do this battle. You don't have to do this journey by yourself. You know, in this church, we say we're a family, we're a body, and hey, we're not a perfect one, but we do the best we can. And I want to encourage you today, if you battle, if you struggle with any kind of mental health-related illness, would you reach out and talk to somebody? Would you reach out and tell someone? Maybe that's a friend that you trust. Maybe that's a family member. Maybe that's a prayer leader here. Maybe that's your ministry leader. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a small group leader. But just reach out and tell someone. Don't do this journey alone. Or maybe you're here and you say, actually, that's a step too far for me. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can talk to someone I already know. Okay, that's fine. Can I point you towards the Lifeline support hotline? It's a crisis support hotline, and if you call it, you'll find someone who'll keep your name completely anonymous, and there you can talk to them. You can have an honest and real conversation with them. And the number is up there, 131114, for anyone listening online, 131114. And if you call it, it means that you can talk about it. It means that you can bring something out into the light, and you don't have to struggle with it by yourself. You don't have to keep it hidden. You don't have to hide anymore. You can talk about it. Can I encourage you, share the load, open your heart up, and talk about it to someone you trust. And thirdly, you are not alone. You have the ultimate helper. In John 14, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." Hey, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want to remind you that you have the ultimate helper with you. Jesus said that the Helper, whom the Father will send, will come and not only live with you, but he will come and live inside of you. And he will remind you of everything Jesus has told you, that you are never alone, that he's with you even to the end of the age. You have help. help and you have hope because the Holy Spirit comes and He lives and breathes inside of you. Right now, as you sit there, under the sound of my voice, the Holy Spirit is with you. Whether you feel Him or not, whether that feels true to you or not, the Holy Spirit is with you. And He's in you and He's there to help you. You are never alone. And if you're here this morning, and if you see someone that looks like they're struggling, would you be brave enough to have a conversation with them? Would you step out of your comfort zone and say, hey, are you okay? Are you okay actually gives us four tips on how to have that conversation. They say, firstly, ask them, are you okay? Secondly, listen to them. Listen to what they're telling you. Thirdly, encourage action. Encourage them to go and get help. And fourthly, don't just leave it at that. Check in with them. Follow up to see how they're doing. And if you're on the receiving end of some of that, if someone comes and tells you about a mental health related illness that they're going through, here are some things that I'd really, 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 really strongly encourage you to consider. Firstly, do not trivialize what they're going through. Don't tell them that it's nothing, that it's not important, that it'll pass. If it's serious to them, it's important enough to make it serious for you. Do not tell them that they just need to pray more, trust more, do more, and have more faith, that they're lacking in any way. Do not point out a silver lining by telling them things like, oh, it could be worse, don't worry about it. Oh, well, at least it's not that bad. That's not helpful in any way. But do listen to them with love and compassion and grace. Do share their burden. The Bible talks about carrying each other's loads. Share their pain, share their despair. Do pray for them when they can't pray for themselves. Do hope for them when they can't find the hope to keep going. Do help them to get help. Maybe you'll say, hey, I'll come with you. I'll come with you to talk to someone. I'll sit with you while you call that hotline. And finally, do remind them of the truth of God's word. And that brings us to the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. Truth versus lies. Truth versus lies. You see, when you deal with mental health related challenges, there are some things that we think that feel true to us, but are actually the opposite of what God says about us. But it's easy when you're sitting in your pain and you're sitting in your despair, it's easy to think that those things are true. For example, maybe you're here and you say something like, I am depressed. I am suicidal. I am mentally ill. Now, I want you to hear me. I understand that. But actually, if you're here, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, mental health related illnesses are not a character defect. They don't define who you are. You are more than your illness. You are more than your battle. You are more than your challenge. And I want to remind you that God says to you in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for who to do, for you to do. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has already prepared for you to do. What does that mean? That means that you have a purpose, that there is a unique purpose that God has put deep inside of you that only you can outwork in the world. It means that it matters that you're here. It matters that you outwork this purpose in your life. Yes, even in the middle of your depression. Yes, even in the middle of all your panic attacks. Yes, even in the middle of all those suicidal thoughts, there is purpose for you in each and every single day because you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Perhaps you're here and maybe you say things like, well, I'm useless. Doesn't matter if I was here. No one would miss me if I was gone. Can I tell you? That is a lie. That is a lie. That is untrue. I want to remind you this morning that God has a plan for your life, that you are not an accident, you are not a mistake, that it absolutely matters that you are here. God created you on purpose and for a purpose. He created you to be alive. He created you to live. In Psalm 139, it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And perhaps you say, what, me? Even like this? even as in the depth of my despair, even in the depth of my depression, am I fearfully and wonderfully made? Yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, even if that doesn't feel true to you, because that is how you were made. By your very design of who created you, you matter. You are significant. You are important. You were created to live. You were created to be a light in this world, exactly as you are. And perhaps you're here and you have had this feeling for a long time. You've had this battle for a very, very long time, and you think it's never going to get better. It's never going to get better. And hey, I understand that. I get that. Remember my friend Casey I was telling you about? Well, I worked with her for about 4 years, and then she moved out of Nottingham, and she went and she was starting her studies elsewhere. And it was a few years after that. And over the years, we've kept in touch. And as I was preparing for this message, I messaged her just a few days ago just to see how she was doing. And right now, she told me that she's just bought her first house, that she's now in the middle of finishing up her master's degree. I know, isn't that amazing? That's fantastic. But here's the thing. Casey isn't all better. Things did get better for her, but she faces ups and downs every day. She has a diagnosed eating disorder that is still a challenge to her. But she has a life, and she has joy, and she has purpose in her life, even in the middle of her battle, even in the middle of her illness. And I get it, because there were days when I was sitting with her and we were in the bottom of a car park, or we were on the floor of a toilet, and I was hugging her and she was crying, and there were days that I thought it would never get better for her either. But I remember the words that God spoke in Jeremiah 29. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And that was true for Casey's life, and it's also true for your life. Even in the middle of your battle, even if nothing seems to get better, even if nothing seems to shift, I want to encourage you today that right now, in this very moment, God's plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And that day is today. It's not something that's coming in the future. There is hope, and there's a future, and there's a plan to prosper you right in this very day. So it matters that you stick around. It matters that you know the truth that God speaks over you. And listen, I know it's not easy, and I know that I don't know what it's like, but I believe that God speaks a better word over you than any disease or any illness can. You know, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, mental health-related challenges, suicidal thoughts, these are not signs that God has left you. No, this is a battle, and God is fighting for you, fighting on your behalf, because you are a precious child. You are the precious child of God. You are the apple of his eye. You are loved beyond belief. You are loved with an everlasting love, a love that breaks down any condemnation, that breaks down any form of judgment. Romans 8 tells us that God works everything together for our good, and that is your good, and he is working it out on your behalf. And listen, it might not seem to shift right now. Listen, it might not seem to move right now, but you can be sure, you can have hope that God is bringing life into death, that he's bringing light into the darkness, that he's breathing joy into sadness, that he's bringing beauty out of ashes, because his word is still true, his heart is still good, and his gospel is still grace. And this grace, it's unreleasing, it's unyielding, it's unending, and it goes on and on and on. And this grace is sufficient for you. This grace is sufficient for you, exactly as you are. Exactly as you are. And I was thinking about what situation in the Bible, what situation in the Bible was so devastating? What was the most harrowing situation in the Bible? What was so destructive? What brought about so much despair? And for me, it has to be the death of Jesus Christ. You see, in that time, the Jewish people and the disciples, they'd put all of their hope in Jesus Christ. He was their Savior. He was their Messiah. He was the one who was coming to redeem them all. And there he was, right in front of their eyes, performing miracle after miracle, healing after healing. And there he was preaching great sermons that crowds and throngs of people came from far and wide to hear him speak. And then on Good Friday, they arrested him and they nailed him to a cross. And they mocked him and scorned him and shamed him and beat him and flogged him. And then they killed him on a cross like a criminal. This is what Mark says about the moment that Jesus died. He says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus himself, in that very moment, when all the world's guilt and pain and shame, when every sin, when every transgression, when every mistake, when every failure was placed on his shoulders, the depth of despair, the pain that was so deep, in that moment, Jesus himself felt abandoned. He cries out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And maybe you're here and that's been your cry. My God, where are you? My God, why does it seem that you have forsaken me? Why have you not answered my prayer? God, why does it seem like you haven't come through? And I want to say to you this morning, Jesus understands your cry. Jesus understands your pain because he's been there too. And in that moment, the Bible says that thick darkness, it covered the whole land. And in that moment, the environment, it mirrored what Jesus was feeling inside, this thick darkness, this thick cloud that seemed to descend. And maybe you're here this morning and you know what that's like because you've been down in the pit, not being able to get back up. You've been under that cloud, that thick darkness that doesn't seem to lift. Well, I want to tell you this morning that you don't have a God who doesn't know what it's like, but you have Jesus who knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the pain. He knows the trauma. He knows the despair. He knows the hopelessness. And he's right there with you. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the Bible says that just a short while after that, he died. He died on a cross. He died on Friday. And he stayed dead all of Saturday. You know, I've often thought that Saturday was actually the worst day because it's the day after, it's the morning after, it's when you wake up and you remember that everything is not all right with the world. I can imagine that the disciples woke up and they would have felt like their hope had been destroyed, like their spirits were crushed, that their light had gone. They were defeated, they felt abandoned, they felt hopeless and purposeless. And maybe you're here this morning and you are in Saturday right now. You know what Saturday feels like because you are going through exactly what the disciples went through. You understand that pain. You understand the hopelessness. You understand that feeling of being abandoned, that feeling of being left, that feeling of despair and hopelessness and purposelessness. And maybe you're here and you say, listen, I've tried everything, Sid. I've prayed, I've fasted, I've meditated, I've taken medication, I've seen a counselor, I've done everything. I've done everything I can do and it's still dark, it's still bleak, it's still Saturday. It's still Saturday. But here's the thing about Saturday. Saturday is the day before Sunday. Ooh, big revelation there. But you see, this was no ordinary Sunday. You see, on Saturday, the disciples thought that it was all done. On Saturday, the disciples thought that Jesus had died and he was buried and it was done and dusted. You see, they didn't know what was coming next. You see, they didn't know that Sunday was on the horizon. You see, they didn't know that Jesus would rise from the dead, that he would conquer death, that he would conquer the grave, and that he would rise again in victory. You see, they didn't know that actually he would become the gateway, the pathway for us to have eternal life with God forever and ever and ever. You see, the disciples didn't know that what the enemy had meant for evil, God had turned around for our good. You see, they didn't know that because of Jesus, that because of the cross, you and I can now have hope, an eternal hope, a hope that is unyielding, a hope that is unrelenting. Because God breathes hope into the most hopeless place. And this hope, it has a name, and his name is Jesus. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. In the darkest place, in the bleakest, most desperate, most despairing situation, God breathes hope, and this hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And I wonder, all across this room this morning, whether you can allow hope to start rising in your heart again. Because you see, here's what I do know, that Jesus is not finished with you yet. That God isn't finished with you yet. You see, Jesus' death, it wasn't the end. It was just another beginning. You see, Jesus died, but he rose again. And with it, God engendered a new beginning. And so right now, I do know that just like Jesus' story wasn't done, just like the disciples' story wasn't done, God is not done writing your story. He's not finished writing your story. The cross is proof of his completion. The cross is evidence that God doesn't leave things undone. The cross is evidence that he doesn't leave things unfinished. The cross is proof that he doesn't leave a story unwritten. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? I wonder this morning, is there faith in this room to declare that God is not finished with you? To declare that there is hope for tomorrow, that there is strength for today, right as we are, that he's not finished with us, that he is writing our story, that he is fighting on our behalf, that he is working everything together for our good. Come on, can we raise our hands? Can we lift our voices? Can we declare in faith that our story is not yet unwritten, that God is not finished with us, that he is working all things together for our good? Come on, let's sing it with faith this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.